This is Season 1, Episode 11 of Twins Discuss. I'm Raquel, a research scientist.
And I'm Raven, a medical professional.
Today, the twins discuss fun facts about dogs. Listener discretion may or may not be advised. This podcast contains mentions of cuteness and overall awesomeness and should be suitable for everyone. This podcast was written using information from pretty much one source. It was presented as accurately as possible, though some of what is mentioned has not been fact-checked. Sources can be found on our social media page at Twins Discuss Podcast. A happy episode!
A happy episode!
Yay! Like, I put, I don't know, maybe an hour into writing this one, because what I basically did was copy and paste a fun fact list from the AKC's website onto here, because I was just so emotionally drained after this last month.
Yeah, and you know, it's, so basically everyone, we were supposed to do one on the Mothman. Well, that's depressing as hell, and that's a lot of information, and it's also overused and overdone. Raquel was supposed to stop at Point Pleasant, West Virginia, the last time she went to Ohio. We had a bunch of plans for that episode, and they just didn't pan out because it's overused.
Yeah, I mean, we might, like, I've been to Point Pleasant before. I got a picture of myself next to the Mothman statue and all that. I mean, I might do it later on, but, like, there is so much information out there on the Mothman, and I know that it's one of the few supernatural episodes we actually had planned that we're going to waylay for now, but you're right, I mean, it is so overdone, and I just did not want to get into it.
Yep, there's so much information. There's a movie about it, so...
It's a bad movie.
It's a bad movie. And so, yeah, we were just like, when Raquel told me we were doing, because I just put whatever on there, on the schedule, because I had no idea. And then she's like, I'm doing fun facts about dogs. And I'm like, that's cool, because you've got four of them.
Yeah, I do. I have four dogs, and you have two.
I have two.
And our parents have three. We're one a dog is family. As old as dirt. Yep.
Yeah, Bear. So our parents have one named Bear, and Bear is what, 14, 15?
He'll be 15, I think, this year.
In December.
Yeah, and he's a Mastiff mix, so it's unusual that they live that long, but God, he's turned into dust right before our eyes. He is so old.
And my parents, they flood their dogs with affection and love.
Oh, I mean, he is so loved. I mean, they go out of their way for him. I mean, he's our baby brother, so I'm glad he's
our baby
do.
Brother. So, little story about Bear. Raquel and I moved out during paramedic school.
Yeah.
And we, at that point, Mom and Daddy had lost, we lost one of our dogs. Like, we'd had to put him down, unfortunately. And we move out. We come over one day, and there's a puppy. And we're like, of dang course. We moved out, and Mom and Daddy get a puppy, and Bear was adorable. He was, well, for his age, he had the biggest feet.
Yeah, he was like 10 weeks old, but Mom and Dad didn't want him. And what happened was a friend of theirs, Steve, had heard about Boo passing away. And he just showed up at the gate one day. He said, I'm coming for a visit. Mom was like, don't you bring me a puppy. And he's like, okay. And he shows up at the front gate, and he is just holding Bear in his arms. And, of course, my parents couldn't say no. So our parents couldn't say no. And so, you know, 2007, Bear came into our lives. Because he looked like a little bear cub, so that's how he got his name. But he is the best dog.
He is so sweet. And you know, that's how Mom and Daddy ended up with the other two dogs as well. Very similar situations. One was Raquel's. Her name is Raisin. She's a bloodhound, and
she's named after you.
She's named after my childhood nickname. And I have a pit bull named Ratchet, who is Raquel's childhood nickname. Anyway, we won't even get into that story. And Mama fell in love with Raisin and never gave her back. And I had a puppy named Alba. She's Ratchet's biological sister. And Raquel was over with me and Mom and Daddy. And Daddy saw Alba, took Alba, and that was it. Like, Daddy fell in love with Alba.
And Alba's, white pit bull.
Yep. Alba's his baby. And Alba is she's a big girl, but she's a happy girl. My parents have the sweetest dogs because Daddy's always there to look after them.
Yeah, and they sleep in the bed with him at night, and you know sometimes Daddy goes and he sleeps on this giant mattress that uses a dog bed because he can't get room in the bed.
Yeah, it, so my parents or our parents have big dogs. Like Raisin is what 100 and something pounds.
She's a bloodhound, so yeah, she's 110 pounds. Yeah,
she's like 110 pounds, and Alba is
I don't know, 80, she's on a diet, so.
85 or...
Yeah.
Because Ratchet is 68.
Yeah, and Alba's more husky.
Alba's a little more
not
husky.
Not actual husky dog. She is of husky size.
And so. Then I have Blue, who is a mutt mix of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. Who is the sister of Raquel and Jeff's dog, Scarlet. Mm-hmm. So I have Ratchet and Blue. Mom and Daddy have Alba, Raisin, and Bear. And Raquel has
Scarlet, Danger, Theodore, and Bridey. And, you know, the great thing about having dogs is if you come into my house and you're not welcome, you'll know it.
That's very true.
You know, yep. I mean, I know that I'm safe because it is very unlikely that somebody is going to, first of all, I have a very robust security system, but I also have four dogs, and, you know,
they are little alert systems. And
they are.
Yeah, there are some dogs that have never met a stranger, mm-hmm. and then there are people like our dogs, which are very timid and hesitant until they know that you're safe, or they're safe.
Yeah, yeah, like if somebody breaks in, somebody breaks into our house, I guarantee you, they will be eaten alive.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're and that's not the welcome. Risk you take by breaking into my house. So don't.
Yeah, I mean we all got pit bulls. All three of us have a pit bull, and there's a reason. They're great, loving, kind dogs, but they are definitely protectors.
Yeah, I would not have a pit bull and a child.
No, but we don't have children. We have dogs. Mm-hmm. None of us have cats or birds or anything. We just have dogs. We are dog people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to get to it?
Yep.
All right.
So there are around 400 recognized breeds of dog in the world, not counting the various like mixes that exist, which is kind of cool. So according to the AKC, the most popular dog breeds in the world, ranked from 1st to 10th, are the Labrador Retriever is number one.
Does it differentiate between the colors or just labs?
These are just Labrador Retrievers. So you got your yellow, brown, and blacks, which, you know, vary in intelligence based on their color.
it would seem so.
Yes. The French Bulldog is second.
That surprises me.
Mm-hmm. The German Shepherd is third.
I'm not entirely surprised by that.
Not at all. The Golden Retriever is fourth.
No, oh, I want one.
Bulldogs.
Yep.
Poodles.
Yeah, interesting. I can see that. Yep. Do they mean? I wonder if they mean like large poodles and small poodles, mini poodles, or
I'm assuming they mean standard poodles.
Okay, those are big dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beagles.
Yep, I see that.
Rottweilers.
Also see that. Junkyard dogs.
Yep. The German short-haired pointer.
Did not expect that.
I didn't either. And, of course, the Dachshund.
Yep, those are the hardest dogs to train.
Dachshunds our grandmother has two.
Yep, Dachshunds are the most stubborn. So I used to work at a pet store, and, you know, I worked with a bunch of dog trainers, and I was training to be a dog trainer when I left. And they said of all the dogs they've ever trained, Goldens were the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
Goldens and Labs were easy. And then the Dachshund and Pugs were the hardest.
And I could see it. I can see it in the Dachshund because they're very strong-willed and independent.
They're very obstinate.
And, I mean, our grandmother has two miniature Dachshunds. Our cousin has one, and her mother has one. And we were raised with Dachshunds up until we were, what, 7 and got our first rat terrier?
Yeah, we had Nissan. Mm-hmm. And Nissan and what was the one that Mom and Daddy
Tootsie.
Had? Tootsie.
And they had spicy too.
Yeah.
Well, spicy was different. Mama's and grandma's, but you know, yeah, and mama and daddy swear they'll never have another Dachshund. And I don't blame them, they're just not for everyone. It's
they
like
they are hard to train.
Yeah, I mean, it's like my favorite dog breed listed 36th on the list.
The Basset Hound? 36?
Yep, but I totally get it because they are not for everyone. I mean, they are loud, they are loving, but almost to the point of demanding it.
Yeah, we call Derp Derp or Theodore. We all have little nicknames for him. He's Derp to me or Tonks, and he is known as a bass hole.
He is a huge bass hole.
Yep.
Yep. But, you know, Staffordshire Bull Terriers were 81st on the list, and the American Staffordshire was 82nd, which is interesting because they were followed at 83rd by the Rat Terrier.
Shut up.
Yep, right behind it. So we were raised with, you know, Bull Terriers and Rat Terriers, so, but yep. They're not for everyone.
They are not for everyone. And I believe that our dogs turned out so good because... Mm-hmm. Our parents, one of our parents was always home. Either mom was a stay-at-home mom for a while, or, you know, our dad ran his own business from the mm-hmm. house. So they were always around to help yep. raise the dogs. So they turned yep. out well. Like Ratchet, my dog has a lot of anxiety issues, and it's, I attribute a lot of that to me not being around
mm-hmm.
as much.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And it's dogs are so amazing because you get more out of them than you put into them, but you still have to put something into them. Like they're gonna love you, you know, and they're gonna be there for you, and they're gonna see you different than everyone else sees you and all that. But if you really want to get the most out of them, you need to train them. Most of them are really interested in pleasing. They really want to spend time with you. And even if you know, one of my favorite breeds is the Newfoundland. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the great thing about the Newfoundland is they're service animals. They are working dogs. They want to do things and be involved in things. And they're really interested in pleasing if they can serve. You know, they're great draft animals. They're great rescue animals, you know, because they love to have a job. They like to, yeah. to be invested and involved. It's like the Pyrenees is great for guarding. If you give them a job, they'll do it. They'll love it. Yeah, but they require training to get to that point. So you get out of them what you put into them. Typically get more out of them because they go a step further just by being loving to begin with.
Yeah.
So I kind of have a list that I copied from the AKC's website. Like I said, there's one source in this besides you and I, and it's the AKC. So, a fun fact is that the Labrador Retriever has been at the top of the 10 most popular breeds list for 30 consecutive years.
Wow. I mean, yep, even we had labs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Charlie was a lab.
Yep.
You know, and Danger is, he's half lab. So, he's half black lab. And, I mean, I swear, he's the most loving dog, but he'd walk right into a wall.
I love Danger Dog. I'm like, hey, buddy. And he's like, yay, Raven. Yeah. He's my boyfriend.
Yeah. He's 12 years old now, so.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I remember yep. when y'all got Sock Puppy.
Yep. He had Parvo when we got him. That's why. And he had really hard time controlling his own temperature, so he was put inside of a sock. And he was so small because he was a rescue that Daddy nicknamed him Sock Puppy.
Love
both Scarlet and Blue. Yeah, Scarlet, Blue, and Danger all had Parvo.
Yeah, that's how Blue, my Blue, got her name was because when I got her, she was not happy. She was not hyperactive. So I'm mm-hmm. like, she has a Blue personality. I didn't know she would have a Blue dipstick from Parvo.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's cool.
Yeah. Another fact about dogs is a dog's nose print is unique, much like a person's fingerprint.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Kind of like our ear prints.
Yeah.
45% of the U.S. That the people that own dogs allow their dogs to sleep in their bed with them.
Yeah, Ratchet keeps ripping the comforters with her talons, so she's no longer allowed to sleep in the bed with moi.
Oh, dear, that must be hard on her.
It is, but, you know, she's got a lot of bed, and she's got the sofa. My pit bull has, my dogs, but really my pit, has two sofas particularly dedicated to her.
She does.
So, you know, she gets what she wants.
Yep. Yep. None of the dogs sleep. None of my dogs sleep with me, mostly because our bed is so high off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And our dogs are, you know, either too old or not capable of getting up there. But I also have read studies that there are allergy issues involved with letting your dog sleep with you. So,
yeah.
You know, I have allergies. My husband has bad allergies. So I don't want dog dander all over me. Plus, even with a king size bed, having four dogs and, you know, three of them are well over 50 pounds mm-hmm. in the bed with us, I could not sleep at night.
Yeah, very rarely does Ratchet sleep in the bed. I mean, Blue never does. I mean, ever. She just doesn't want to.
She's like
to.
Scarlet. Yeah, she doesn't want to.
She doesn't want to. But, you know, if I have like a really bad night or nightmares or I'm scared because, you know, I mean, for whatever reason, Ratchet sleeps in the bed with me. She's like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, yes, Mom, be afraid.
Cuddle me. And she sleeps on your head.
So I made the bad decision when she was a puppy to let her sleep on my neck or my head because she was like, she was so small and she got cold and I wanted her to bond with me. And 60 pounds later and she still sleeps on my head.
Mm-hmm. I remember the one night I stayed over to dog sit and I didn't... We're twins, but she knows that I'm not you, but sure as hell she treated me like you because I got in bed to go to sleep, and she jumps in the bed and she lays her head on my neck, and I'm like, oh.
Yep, that's how she is.
Yep, yeah, she's so sweet, though. Doesn't make me scared at all to have that, you know, but you got to know the dog to let them do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, speaking of sleeping, according to this, all dogs actually dream, but puppies and senior dogs dream more frequently than just regular old adult dogs.
That makes sense because Blue and Ratchet, they're seniors now, even though mm-hmm. they sure as hell don't act like it. They definitely dream harder than they did when they were younger.
Yes. Scarlet and Danger dream a lot harder than Teddy and Bridie do. Yeah. So true.
Interesting.
Yep, 70% of people sign their dog's names on their holiday card.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone I know does it.
Yep, because dogs are, they're members family. Of your, yeah, they're mm-hmm. your children.
They are, 100% my kids. A dog's sense of smell is legendary, but did you know that his or her smell has as many as 300 million receptors? In comparison, a human nose has about 5 million.
Wow.
And yet, my basset hound cannot smell the bickies in front of him.
Yeah, bless his heart. I was about to ask, is that the same for sniffing dogs like, you know, Raisin and Teddy?
I think that Ted is so frequently trying to decipher scents that he often misses the most obvious ones.
Because he gets confused.
He does. Oh, him so confused. Can't help it. Just a baby. I'd have 10 million of them. And then when they're screaming at me and I'm trying... When he's screaming at me and I'm trying to work, I'm like, I'll never have another one of you as long as I live. Teddy is very, very vocal. Again, that's why basset hounds are not for everyone. It's like, you know, Ratchet and Blue are super, super vocal dogs because terriers typically are.
Yep.
Hounds and terriers are so vocal.
Ratchet will have a full-on conversation with you. She will.
And it's why you really need to explore your breed or breed mixes before you invest yourself emotionally and financially in a dog. Because once you get that dog is yours until it goes to the bridge. Like, you cannot just get rid of it because you get bored of it or it's frustrating or... You get a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, and they don't want a dog. Like, that's your...
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows I bought a house for my dogs. I didn't buy a house for me.
I wish you could live in an apartment.
Yep, I would not mind that, but I have dogs, so I bought a house. And, you know, it irritates me when people get dogs for their children for a holiday because, you know, Bubba wants a puppy. And then, you know, they give Bubba up to the pound, you know, like 3 months after the holiday's over because it's just too much to handle.
Or they can't train it because they're not trying.
Yep, they don't understand the emotional and physical investment it is. And they're expensive. Dogs are not cheap, even if you have doggy insurance.
And that's another thing, you know, there are lots of people out there. And I mean, I was one of these people that... had five dogs and was in school full time. And if something happened, you know, we were kind of up a creek and had to figure out how to financially afford these things. But at the same time, you know that they're at least loved and not in a pound or in an abusive home or whatever. But they are an emotional and financial investment, just like real children. I mean, you know, don't get an animal. That's the thing about the, it's so different depending on how you were raised, you know, but don't get an animal that you are not going to emotionally and financially invest yourself in.
Yeah. Because they don't train themselves.
Yep. And that's why I'm not a huge fan of, you know, like pet stores and Amish puppy mills and, you know, breeding dogs to look a specific way, like brachiocephalic dogs, like pugs and English bulldogs that they're breeding to be now where they can't breed and they got all these health issues and then people don't want them because they got all these health issues and da 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 da. I'm going down a rabbit hole right now, and so stop me.
Stop. What's the next fact?
All right. So, Rin Tin Tin, the famous German Shepherd, was nominated for an Academy Award.
I'll be damned.
Yep. I don't know for what, and I didn't look. But good for him.
Good job, Rin Tin Tin.
Yep. Dogs' noses can smell heat and thermal radiation, which explains why blind or deaf dogs can still hunt.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Dogs are
incredible. Yep. Only one breed that was among the five most popular breeds in 1934, the Beagle, still remains in the top five today.
Beagles are just smart, easygoing dogs.
Yep, and they're good for a lot of things. I mean, they can be a little high strung depending on the Beagle that you get.
Yeah,
but you know they're great for hunting. They're great for families. They're great for kids.
They're good traveling. They're you know, I like Beagles, and you know, I've actually thought about, you know, when my girls go, do I want another animal? And I haven't made that decision. But if I did, you know, if I wanted a smaller dog, I'd go with a Beagle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a ton of options, but Beagles are good if you invest the time in training them well.
Yep, yep. And they're very smart. So, I mean, yeah. I just don't think I could handle... Honestly, as much as I love dogs, I don't want any more because of what my schedule is. But yeah. I don't think I could handle another big dog.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. Well, now that you might, you know, your schedule is shifted to more of a 8-to-5, Monday through Friday sort of thing, mm-hmm. It is easier to have a dog versus those, you know, long shifts you used to work. But
yeah,
again, they're an emotional investment. They're a time investment. I mean, I work from home, so I can be with mine all the time, and I thought that I would really love that, but absence sometimes makes the heart grow fonder.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're just sometimes I cannot have them in the office with me because they want to talk to me and I'm in a meeting.
It's like, there's so many videos now that have come out because of the pandemic about people doing, you know, their job at home, mm-hmm. and their dog in the background, you know, they're, you know, someone's, you know, streaking across the, you know, behind them in their office, uh-huh. but there's dogs in their background, or, you know, like the cute little filter that popped up with that attorney who turned into a cat.
Oh, the cat. Yes. Yeah. That's a great video.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So the name Collie means black because collies once tended to black-faced sheep.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that. I haven't actually read this list. I'm learning these things with you.
Nice.
That's why I didn't fact check it, because I didn't want to ruin these surprises for me. So yawning is contagious even for dogs. Research shows that the sound of a human yawn can trigger one from your dog, and it's four times as likely to happen when it's the yawn of the person they know.
I'm going to go try that.
I am too. As soon as I leave here, I'm going to go in front of all four of mine and just yawn and see what happens.
Yep.
All right, so the Dandy Dinmont Terrier is the only breed named for a fictional person. A character in the novel Guy Mannering by Sir Walter Scott. That's different.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't either. I'm going to have to look this dog up. The Dandy, D-A-N-D-I-E, Dinmont, D-I-N-M-O-N-T, Terrier.
Let's look this up.
What do they look like?
Let's see.
She'll post a picture on our...
Dandy Dinmont
Terrier.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
It looked like if you mixed a poodle with a Yorkie.
Yeah, it looks like a mix between a like a Dachshund and a Schnauzer, a mini Schnauzer, and maybe like a Yorkie.
Y'all.
Look at that. It's so cute.
All right. Okay, I got to move on. Otherwise, I'm going to get trapped looking at those pups. Okay. Dogs curl up in a ball when sleeping to protect their organs, a holdover from their days in the wild when they were vulnerable to predator attacks. So Teddy typically sleeps in what we call bagel formation.
Okay.
Which I guess is what they mean about sleeping in a ball.
Mm-hmm.
None of the other dogs sleep in bagel formation.
None of mine, you know, occasionally Blue will, but Ratchet, she's a pin-up doll. I mean, she just stretches out and she has no cares.
Yep. Yeah, that's how the other ones are.
Especially when she's sunning herself.
Aw.
That dog will... So, Ratchet, if I don't bring her inside, you know, after a certain period of time, she's like Alba. She will lay out in the sun until she bursts into flames. That dog knows no too hot.
She loves to be outside.
Yeah.
This one's interesting. The Basenji is not technically barkless, as many people think. They can actually yodel. And I know when we all leave this podcast, we're going to go YouTube of Basenji yodeling.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, I've got to go YouTube of Basenji yodeling.
The American Shepherd, excuse me, let me rephrase that. The Australian Shepherd is not actually from Australia. They are an American breed.
Really?
I guess it's like fortune cookies. They're not Chinese. They're American.
Yeah, they are.
So the Australian Shepherd is the fortune cookie of Australia. And the Labrador Retriever is originally from Newfoundland. You'd think it's from Labrador.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Human blood pressure goes up when petting a dog, and so does the dogs. And I 100% agree with this.
Yeah.
And I know that there are blood pressure sensing dogs out there that can sense when you become, you know, when your blood pressure goes low, and they'll be like, hey, just like with your blood sugar and stuff. So
that makes sense. I mean, dogs are supernatural.
So here's another fun fact about why America is awesome. There are over 75 million pet dogs in the United States, more than any other country.
Nice.
We're dog people.
We are dog people.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs are the best.
Mm-hmm. So, a person who hunts with a beagle is known as a beagler.
Yeah, you named after that dog. That dog comes first.
You're a beagler. Dogs are not colorblind. They can see blue and yellow. So, I'm guessing that means they can't see red. Because I know that they say if you get a dog a toy, get them a blue toy because they can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Scarlett has a blue toy, and we throw it, and she can see it, but her red toy blends in with the green grass.
That's interesting. I mean, it's funny because Ratchet is blue, and her eyes are gold. So,
aww.
So, we just took a little break, and we YouTubed Basenji's yodeling. Oh my God, they're so cute.
They sound, so that's what that sound is. So apparently, Danger can yodel too.
Of course, Buddy can. He's special.
Like it sounds like that in a dog. It's amazing. So amazing. All right, so apparently all puppies are born deaf. Okay. They develop their hearing over time.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Man, that makes you totally... I mean, they're totally defenseless anyway, but...
Yeah, no wonder they depend so much on mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Dalmatians are born completely white, and they develop their spots as they get older, which we knew that from 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah, we did. The I work with somebody who has a gold-spotted Dalmatian.
Really? That's unique.
Yeah, I forget what they're called, but her name is Dottie.
Oh.
And yes, very appropriate. And she's got blonde dots all over her.
That's really cool. I think that any other animal, those would be called ticks.
Mm-hmm.
Like those spots, because Ted's got ticks, and I love a dog and a cow that have ticks on them. Not like real ticks, because that's terrible. But those spots, I love those starry spots all over them. Tickles me. So dogs have about 1,700 taste buds. Humans have between 2 and 10,000. I guess it depends on the tongue, doesn't it?
So humans have how many?
2,000 to 10,000.
And dogs have how many?
1,700.
So I know from, you know, going to the doctor that I have around 8,500 because I have a geographical tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So the papillae pile up. And mm-hmm. I know that sounds terrible, but I have these weird shapes on my tongue because of that.
It makes eating spicy foods
can't
terrible.
Stand it. Or Indian. Can't stand it.
Yeah, well, the Indian thing is just you, but the spiciness that is in Indian food, but in general, it's hard because I have a geographic tongue too. Obviously, we're twins.
Yeah.
And so eating spicy food is, and we taste things differently, and a lot of things are more pronounced.
That's why we don't like a lot of, like, you know, dill, for instance. Dill's a great example. Can't stand dill. Cilantro is overpowering. Tastes like soap. Yep. And yep.
That's a genetic thing too.
Yeah, we don't deal with that stuff very well. But yeah, that's interesting. That dog. I mean, mm-hmm. that would explain why they don't care what they eat. And you know, COVID changed the way my tongue works anyway.
Yeah, COVID. Well, when it changes your sense of smell, and then your taste follows. And
yeah,
yeah. I have not had COVID-19. I have been vaccinated, so I hope I don't have to deal with it. But I know there's still a risk, but. You know, watching the way that you've experienced it, you know, just because you came in contact with it because of your work,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's been interesting for you to be like, I smell death. And I'm like, you're sitting next to your Scentsy in your living room. And you're like, is it real death or is it COVID? Like, did a mouse die somewhere and I don't know about it?
Yeah, it's like when I smell smoke on occasion, like, you know, and I'm like, you know, I used to get really upset and go searching around. Now I'm like, is this COVID? is this my COVID smell? And you know, all last night I smelled it, but that's because we did the backyard and all the, you know, the smell from the grass and stuff was coming in through the AC vent,
right?
And I had to put that together because otherwise I'm like, my damn house is on fire.
Yeah, I wonder if it's affected other things, because like we can smell cyanide, you know, or one of mm-hmm. those few people that can smell it, and. I mean, obviously, I could still smell it, but I wonder if you still could.
I don't know. Arsenic and cyanide, I don't know, and I don't really want to find that one out, but it's...
Yeah.
It is. It has been interesting, you know, because I'll smell it, and I'll look over at Ratchet and Blue, because if they smell something like death... and I know what death smells like, y'all.
And Blue didn't cause it and bring it inside.
Exactly, man. It's like that rabbit that ran across the backyard. My dog, my old girl, she digs holes, and she's
an amazing killer. She was a fox in her last life.
Yep. I mean, she's a hunting dog, and she, I don't know where that rabbit came from in the backyard, because there's no way there's one now.
Yeah,
Blue, when I used to live closer to a swamp, Blue would bring turtles and snakes and crap
live
like
turtles.
That. Live turtles into my house. And I was sitting on the sofa one day playing Mario Kart, and I feel this thing bump up against my foot. And I'm like, oh, it's a ball, you know, whatever. And I keep going, and then I feel it crawl over my foot. And I look down, and it's a damn turtle. I had a turtle get in my living room. And I looked at Blue, and she's like, what? I'm like, oh, my God, dog. I mean...
I remember that phone call.
Yep. I mean, turtles, snakes, my apple snails would escape from the aquarium sometimes, and
it
she
was
would,
nothing. Yeah, yep. Stay at your house and have a snail crawl across something.
Yep, because I used to raise apple snails, and... Blue never ate them. She put them in her mouth. She'd bring them over to me and plop them down.
This got out.
Yeah, she's like a cat. She wanted to bring me gifts.
Yeah, but you know, if it was like a rodent, she killed it.
Yep. She, and cockroaches, I mean, right, because I have at my house, I have these big palmetto cockroaches because of where I live. You know, they're harmless, and they don't live when they come inside, that's for sure.
Nothing lives in your house. I don't know what it is about your house. It's a dead zone. Just you and the dog surviving.
It is. I mean, you know, it's crazy. My flowers are finally thriving. But, yeah, and she'll kill everything. So, yeah, wow. She's a remarkable creature.
To be such a sweet girl.
Yeah.
But I will say that when we were working on your backyard, I didn't see one mole trail or anything because they know they got the fear of blue in them.
Yep. And that's why I really think that I don't have, you know, I'll go out on the porch and I'll see the cockroaches. I'm not even really sure that's what they are. They might be big water bugs.
They might be.
They might be. And blue's like, there's one, pounce. There's one, pounce.
She
and
was I'm a like, fox.
This is the most activity you get every day. Pounce, pounce. Yeah, nothing sweet. Survives. Yeah.
So sweet. So when dogs kick backwards after they go to the bathroom, it's not to cover it up, but to mark their territory using the scent glands in their feet.
I have never seen my dogs do that.
Bridie does it.
Bridie's trying to be alpha.
Bridie's a rat terrier, so yeah, that makes sense. But I've never. Danger might do it every now and then, but not really a thing.
Zoe used to do it, but I have never seen Blue and Ratchet do it.
Yeah, well, I don't really like track my dogs because they got a dog that they can go come and go as they please. So when I take them to the vet and they're like, "Is everything normal?" I'm like, "I'm assuming."
Yeah,
because I don't know. You know, I knew that Danger had a bladder infection once just by happenstance.
Yeah, he was acting all funny.
Yeah, he was, and he was drinking more than usual and not eating. And I was like, "Something's wrong. We're going to the vet."
Yeah.
So yeah, but you know your dogs, even if you don't know others. You know.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yep. A recent study showed that dogs are among a small group of animals who show voluntary, unselfish kindness towards others without any reward. This is one fact dog lovers have known all along.
Oh, yeah. Dogs are the best.
Yep. Absolutely. Although, I sometimes question if Theodore fits into this.
Theodore is a... he's a product of his rearing. He is very spoiled, and he's a baby. He's a big baby, but he's very loyal. He's like everything is fun and happy for him.
Yeah, well, Theodore, like I'm attached to all my dogs, but I have a particular bond with Teddy because we got him 3 weeks after our Basset Hound mix Frodo died suddenly. And so, you know, I could see so much of, like, Frodo in him. So he got away with a lot more as a puppy than I ever would have let any other dog get away with it. But it was because I was, you know, using him as a kind of healing mechanism. Yeah. And, I mean, now he's just, you know, he's his own thing. But
Teddy is definitely very special. He's a good dog, but he is. Yeah. He's got the biggest feet.
He does. His feet are huge.
His feet are huge.
Yeah, but he gets to take a particular amount of advantage of me. And I mean, because when we first got him, what was it, 2 weeks later, I had a tonsillectomy, adenoidectomy, and exploratory abdominal surgery. And so the only way that I knew where he was to keep him laying by my side all the time or on my lap. So he got into this habit of laying in my lap and then, like, flinging his head back onto my shoulder and letting me rub his beautiful neck skins.
I was wondering where he got that from.
Yep. And that way I knew where he was, and I could, like, read my books on my tablet, but I could, like, stroke him and make sure that he was there. As a puppy and as a basset hound, he sleeps all the time. And so that's how he got to be that way. And as he just grew and grew... grew, you know, from a 13-pound puppy into, you know, a 56-pound dog, that never changed.
Him's a special.
Yeah, but he knows when I need, you know, love and attention, and even when I don't, he's like, "You need my love and attention." I'm like, "Apparently I do." So, I have gotten used to playing my Switch around his big body.
he's like, I have a pillow I use when I play my games, and he's your pillow that I put on my lap. Yeah.
Yep. And when I've been on my phone for too long, Mm-hmm. He's really good about it. He'll walk up to me, and he and Danger especially are good about this. They'll take their nose and just, like, hit my hand. Sometimes it'll knock my phone out of my hand. Sometimes it won't. But they're like, focus on something else. I'm like, thank you so much for that. You know, because we spend too much time on our electronic devices.
Oh, yeah.
It's why we have such terrible ADHD, you know?
Yep.
So, the Norwegian Lundhund, is the least popular dog breed and the only dog breed created for the job of puffin hunting.
All right, how you spell that?
Norwegian, and then L-U-N-D-E-H-U-N-D.
It looks like a little fox.
It does. Kind of like an Akita mixed with a rat terrier.
And what's it used for?
Puffin hunting.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow. Interesting.
Yep. Live and learn. All right. Greyhounds can beat cheetahs in a race.
I bet they can.
Yeah, while cheetahs can run twice as fast as greyhounds, they can only maintain 70 mile per hour speeds for about 30 seconds. A greyhound can maintain a 35 mile per hour speed for about 7 miles. So, the cheetah may start out fast, but the greyhound will soon overtake them.
I believe it 100%. The one of my supervisors have greyhounds, rescued greyhounds.
Yep.
And those dogs. Those dogs are ridiculously fast.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. They're not like little motors. Zoom.
Yep. Yeah, they're so aerodynamic. A girl I used to work with rescues greyhounds, too. And she loves them. She takes them on hikes with her and everything.
Yep.
So the bloodhound's sense of smell is so accurate that the result of its tracking can be used as evidence in a court of law.
Yes, it can. I knew that.
I wonder if Raisin can do that, though. I know you're trained to it, but yeah.
I mean, you know, they have had cases, one, because dogs witnessed murders, mm-hmm. and they were able to track the murderer. The dog was able to track the murderer out of a lineup of people.
Isn't that an episode on Forensic Files, like season one?
I'm not sure.
I know there was an episode about dog hair and a particular pug.
There was. You're right. I can't remember.
Yeah, but they, you know, I mean, because, well, dog DNA is something, you know, that if my dog's DNA shows up on somebody that is not a family member, or anywhere that I'd been recently, and I'm dead, that person probably killed me, you know, because dog DNA is distinct, just like people. We're getting Scarlett, her phenotype and genotype are being done right now, so we can find out what she's, the best good girls are made of. you know, but she's unique.
She's unique. So, she's a good girl.
Some dogs are taller or heavier, but according to the Guinness World Book of Records, a mastiff named Zorba is the world's overall largest dog ever. Zorba weighed 343 pounds and measured over 8 feet from his nose to his tail. He's been described as being the size of a small donkey.
He is a fucking bear.
He weighs
more than we do.
Yeah, he weighs like 110 pounds more than I do.
Makes me feel better.
There's a dog out there that's at 8 feet long that's 110 pounds heavier than me. Yeah, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yep, that makes me feel better.
Or that was out there. I don't know. They don't say how old Zorba is or was.
Wow. That's a big dog. A big dog.
And right along the same lines, according to the Guinness World Book of Records, the smallest dog ever recorded was Miracle Millie the Chihuahua. Born in 2011, Millie was a minuscule 3.8 inches tall and weighed in at 1 pound.
Ankle biters.
Yeah, chihuahuas aren't for everybody. They're certainly not for me, but there's good chihuahuas and then there's terriers.
Yep.
So that's all the interesting dog facts I've got. You know, wow. I enjoyed this episode, you know, just because it was different and happy.
It's a easygoing episode.
Yep. So our pearl of wisdom for this episode is actually one of our favorite quotes, which is, be the person your dog thinks you are.
Yep. If I could only live up to my dog standards.
I mean, the expectations are so high.
They really are.
But I do try.
Yep. I mean, you know, I know when I come home from work, because Blue always greets me the exact same way. Blue has two octaves, quiet and not. And she's just like, seriously, she has one sound of like when she barks, it's one sound.
Yep.
And so I know that she's like, let my people go.
Yep. Which means let Ratchet out of her kennel.
Yep. Let Ratchet out of the kennel and then treat. So, because they always get treats when I come home. Sometimes I'll bring them home like a cheeseburger. I know I shouldn't. But
you should.
I bring them home a cheeseburger or a ham biscuit or, you know, whatever. And because, you know, they're such good girls.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Blue's a super sort of special for sure.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.
I like it. All right, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Today's episode was written by Raquel Weiss. Sound editing and mixing by Raven Hutto. Our theme song was composed by Steve Brendley. Today's sources can be found on our Facebook or Instagram pages at Twins Discuss Podcast and Twitter at Twins Discuss. The Twins will be back next time with an all-new episode.